How do you feel about cops? Are they noble heroes and community protectors? Are they power drunk, often racist bullies? Obviously, all individual officers are different, but there's no question that the culture of some police departments is better than others. How these norms of policing can be improved is the theme of Walk the Walk, How Three Police Chiefs Defied the Odds and Changed Cop Culture by Neil Gross. Neil is a sociologist, a professor at Colby College, and a former police officer. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
My name is Neil Gross. I'm a professor of sociology at Colby College in Maine. I've also taught at Harvard, Princeton, and the University of Southern California. Many years ago, I served as a patrol officer for the city of Berkeley in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I grew up. My book is called Walk the Walk, How Three Police Chiefs Defied the Odds and Changed Cop Culture. We hear a lot these days about the serious problems with the police. Although many cops do their difficult jobs admirably, those problems are real, ranging from police brutality to racial profiling and traffic stops, to the failure to solve some of the most serious crimes plaguing our communities. What should we do about the police? Especially since the murder of George Floyd, we've had debates about legislation that might rein in bad policing. But while such legislation is important, it doesn't necessarily get to the root of the problem, the aggressive us versus them culture that has long characterized the police profession. How can we bend that culture in a better direction? My book tells the stories of three police chiefs who are able to do just that. It takes readers deep inside their departments in Stockton, California, Longmont, Colorado, and LaGrange, Georgia. With hard work, dedication, creativity, and support from the community, it is possible to change the culture of policing. Here are five big ideas from the book. 1. Cop culture matters. When cadets go through the police academy, they're taught the laws of their state and the policies of their department. But when they hit the street, what often influences their behavior even more is cop culture. The norms, values, and mindset they pick up from spending so much time around their brothers in blue. The features of this culture are well known to anyone who has ever been in law enforcement or hung out with cops. Cop culture stresses the importance of being aggressive, of not showing weakness or backing down. According to its dictates, people suspected of criminal activity need to be dominated, not coddled. Policing is a dangerous occupation, and cop culture is preoccupied with danger. Everyone cops interact with is seen as a potential threat. The most important thing is to always have your partner's back. And that means not calling him out, even if he does something you know is wrong. In cop culture, stereotypes abound. So does cynicism. Not every officer gets swept up in cop culture. But because policing is such an insular profession, the culture exerts a powerful pull, especially on young officers. It exerted an influence on me. When you see cops engaging in disrespectful or downright cruel behavior toward citizens, usually it's not because they're following orders. It's because they've absorbed the terrible lesson from their peers that acting that way is what makes someone a real cop. Until we change cop culture, imposing more policy or legal restrictions on the police isn't likely to bring us the respectful, humane policing that so many Americans desire. 2. Culture can change. One of the police departments I write about is Stockton. Stockton is a city of 320,000 in California's Central Valley. It's a blue-collar community with pockets of deep poverty, particularly among Black, Latino, and Southeast Asian residents. That poverty, for decades, helped to sustain a violent gang culture that's made Stockton one of the most dangerous cities in the state. For many years, Stockton police tried to keep a lid on the violence by inundating high-crime neighborhoods and making as many arrests as they could. Just as a gang culture thrived in Stockton, among a relatively small number of its most disadvantaged residents, so too did a hyper-aggressive, cowboy style of policing. People I talked to who grew up there, especially people of color, told me harrowing stories of their experiences with Stockton PD. Many had gotten roughed up. Questionable police shootings weren't uncommon. In 2012, however, a new chief took the helm, Eric Jones. A longtime Stockton officer who'd grown up in a nearby farming community, Jones went into policing in the early 90s, when the crack cocaine-fueled crime wave of that era was at its peak. He wanted to fight crime, but just as important to him was the idea of changing the criminal justice system from the inside, making it more fair, more equitable, less racist. That desire for change stuck with him. At the same time that he was trying to contain gun violence, Jones leaned in, perhaps more than any other big city chief in the U.S., to a philosophy of policing called procedural justice. You'll have to read the book to find out what that meant and how Jones was able to overcome huge challenges to getting it implemented. But he was able to move the needle on police culture in Stockton. I saw it myself in time I spent writing with the department's gang unit. Did Stockton become a policing nirvana? No. But over the course of Jones's decade as chief, it unquestionably changed for the better. Other departments can change too. 3. You can't fix what you don't understand. When I started the research for this project, I hadn't been in a police car for a quarter century. So much had changed in that time, from computers in cruisers to the use of body cams. But the day-to-day reality of dealing with people and calls, that hasn't changed. In every community, there's theft, there's violence, there are unruly individuals, difficult and dangerous situations. The cops get called to handle things and restore order. One of my aims in Walk the Walk was to bring readers inside the real world of the police. There's often a disconnect between media portrayals of cops and the actual experience of the job. And that disconnect causes us to be less than clear-headed about what kinds of reforms will work. I wanted to bridge that gap. I hoped that as a former cop turned sociologist, the officers I studied would trust me that much more. In the end, officers like Robbie Hall in LaGrange and Vijay Kailasam in Longmont shared far more about their lives and experiences than I could have imagined. I've tried to bring the police experience to the page, warts and all, in order to move the conversation around police reform in a productive direction. 4. Respectful policing is a powerful crime-fighting tool. In one chapter of my book, I tell the story of a horrific gang-related gun homicide in Stockton. These homicides are among the most difficult to solve, but in this case, the trust that Chief Eric Jones had built up with the community helped lead to an arrest. The fact is, when people trust that cops are acting in good faith and aren't biased, they're less likely to break the law. They're more apt to call the police when disputes arise, instead of taking matters into their own hands. If a crime occurs, they're more likely to report it and share information about suspects. In the three cities I studied, improving cop culture by making it less hostile and aggressive improved public safety. It didn't detract from it. Do the cops need to fight people sometimes? Yeah. But when they consistently act like jerks or tyrants, it alienates the community and only makes crime worse. A better, more respectful policing culture can go a long way toward making America safer. 5. You never know where a good idea will come from, so get involved. In LaGrange, Georgia, one of the most innovative things the police chief did to transform his department's culture might never have occurred to him were it not for a group of civic leaders. Those leaders organized a series of racial trust-building meetings between the city's Black and white residents. And it was those conversations that led ultimately to the chief's insight. When it comes to changing cop culture, you never know where a good idea will come from. Sometimes it can seem like the problems with policing in this country are intractable. And so, while we might come out to protest an injustice or cast a vote for politicians who promise reform, many of us fatalistically retreat into our echo chambers, denouncing the police or defending them, depending on our politics, but never getting personally involved in trying to make the institution better. Yet democracy is powered by citizen involvement. The more that we engage in difficult but constructive dialogue with our local law enforcement officials about what justice means to us, what we expect of them, and what we ourselves can do to make our communities better places to live, the greater the chance that we'll spark a change. To improve policing, we need the police to engage more with the community, but we also need the community to engage more with the police.
Thank you, Neil. That was Neil Gross with 5 big ideas from Walk the Walk, how 3 police chiefs defied the odds and changed cop culture. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.